You're listening to the Good Food for Glasgow podcast. This is the first episode of 2024, and it's only coming out now because at Glasgow Food Policy Partnership, we've been busy launching our new Full of Beans campaign. This podcast episode is adapted from our launch webinar, and it features speakers from the Global Beans is How campaign and the Bean Meals Research Project, as well as our Glasgow-based bean team. My colleague Rika will introduce the speakers as we go, and I'll be back at the end to ask some questions which were submitted from our webinar audience.
My name is Rika Gonzalez, and I coordinate the Glasgow Food Policy Partnership, a multi-sector organisation aiming to improve the food system locally. I now have the pleasure to introduce you to Kristin Gutekunst, who is project lead of Beans is How, a campaign to double global bean consumption by 2028, mobilised by Sustainable Development Goals 2 Advocacy Hub. Throughout her career, she has had a special focus on campaigning for the Sustainable Development Goals, driving innovations in communication, advocacy and storytelling. She is now putting all her passion into championing the tiny but mighty bean. Over to you, Kristin.
Thanks so much, Rika, and hello everyone. Good afternoon and good morning wherever you are. So just to give a little bit of context about why we started this campaign, 3 billion people globally are suffering from malnutrition, with 735 million people who faced hunger in 2022. An estimated 71 million more people fell into poverty in 2022 due to surging costs of energy and food. And a third of all food is wasted, with a third of greenhouse gas emissions coming from agriculture. So how can we enjoy meals that don't cost the earth? And how can we promote affordable, delicious, and nutritious food? Well, beans is how. And we started this campaign, which is a campaign to fix the future by doubling global bean consumption by 2028. And we're inclusive. We include peas and lentils and other pulses and legumes. In the next 5 years, we aim to make beans visible, desirable, exciting, and to promote them as a climate smart food that can help fix our future. So in our first year, we actually launched in Egypt at COP27 in November 2022, 90 partners in 50 countries, meeting on a regular basis to talk beans, to get beans on the agenda, to get beans on the menu. And we actually launched a project that is literally trying to do that, just getting more beans on menus across the world. We had our first pilot test in New York City in September around the New York City Climate Week and the UN General Assembly, with 50 restaurants participating. We've had over 20 donated recipes from chefs across the world. We have had 650 pieces of unique earned media. We've had an amazing report, which was generated by the input of many, many of our partners and our science group, which basically sets out the roadmap about how we will achieve and measure our success in the next 5 years. And we've even won one award, which is the Global Pulse Confederation's inaugural Green Peace Sustainability Award for Action on the SDGs. So let's back up. Why are we talking about beans? Well, they are a simple, affordable solution to our global financial health and climate challenges. This is the meat of why we care about beans. They're nutrient dense, they're rich in protein and dietary fiber, which is great for our health. They're extremely nutritious, but they also have no cholesterol, are low in fat, and rich in micronutrients. So there's a number of health benefits that they support us with. They're also good for the planet. So incorporating beans into agricultural practices can improve soil and water quality, reduce the need for synthetic fertilizers, and help convert atmospheric nitrogen into a plant-usable form. They're fixing our future, literally in that sense. They also are culturally responsive and versatile. So they're in many global cuisines. You can use them in a variety of different foods. And this is really where our chefs shine, in essentially exploring their versatility, exploring the different varieties of beans. There's 38,000 genetic ascensions across the world. And we really want to promote the use of biodiverse beans, and also to champion the fact that we need to continue to support investments in research and innovation about beans that can really help with breeding them for drought tolerance, for decreased cooking and cultivation times, etc. So those are some of the messages that we are pushing out as a campaign and that we are championing. Looking at the UK's Eat Well Guide, you can see that beans show up as a vegetable in this fruit and vegetables column, and also as a protein. What do you think is the average dried global bean intake per day per capita, thinking about what the average person is? So I'll give you just a few seconds to go ahead and guess. Is it 5 grams, 12 grams, 21 grams, or 52 grams?
So the answer
is 21 grams per capita per day. And this varies greatly by region. And it's important to note that actually it's very different in different places. So across the world, we have very, very different average consumptions. It's also very important to note that this data is actually from 2016, and we really don't have timely data that shows us a global perspective on consumption. So this is one of the things we're also championing, is that we really need to have more and better data. So the average recommended intake across various different dietary guidelines is about 100 grams or half a cup. And the other important thing to note is that we are falling short, but it actually isn't that hard to add a bit more beans into your diet. So as I mentioned before, looking at the versatility of beans, so adding some beans on your salad, adding some beans to your breakfast, putting it into sauces and spreads. I haven't personally experimented with putting them into drinks and desserts, but I know that these are really interesting recipes on our website that do that. So do look out for how you can experiment with that. So 94% of Scottish adults are not consuming enough fiber, with just 6% meeting the recommended Scottish dietary goal intake of 30 grams. So beans can really help to mitigate this from a dietary guidelines perspective. So how can you get involved in Beans is How? Well, we want to create long-term behavioral change, and we need to have a multi-pronged effort with collaboration across different sectors, including retail, restaurants, catering, public institutions, such as schools, hospitals, and governments, et cetera. So we are creating a number of different calls to action, as well as different initiatives for people to get involved. So here's just a taste of a few. Follow us on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter. We are active there. We also have a monthly newsletter that you can sign up for. And we have a number of publications, including our Theory of Change, our Beans on the Menu Challenge assets, and a schools toolkit, which was developed for World Food Day, in which we are continuing to promote to schools about how they can incorporate beans into their programming. This is all available on our website.
As I mentioned,
we're also doing a lot with trying to put beans into the media. So social media, doing bean myth busting, promoting the facts about beans, and then inviting influencers and other partners to join us in doing this as well.
You can also help us
inspire more beans in the menu in the kitchens by downloading and sharing recipes and telling food service providers about the Bean Menu Challenge. Advocate for beans at your local eateries or in your own kitchen. If you're a chef, share bean recipes and cooking tips. And I also have to give a big nod to the Chef's Manifesto, who has been one of the primary drivers of this early adopting phase with us. So thanks so much to all the chefs from the Chef's Manifesto Network. You can help to explore bean diversity, try bean-based products, including snacks, dips, spreads, and varieties, plant beans in your garden and buy from local farmers. And finally, advocate for beans. Incorporate beans into your corporate catering, into your next panel, hosted beans exhibits, support development of bean research, articles, and other background resources. And if you work in policy and advocacy, use your expertise and connections to help create an enabling environment by advocating for favorable policies for bean research, investment, and innovation, support for agriculture and farmers, especially smallholder farmers, women, and youth, through capacity building, training, improved supply chains, seed sharing and subsidies, and increased recommendations and dietary guidelines and public procurement.
Our next speaker is Lisa Didier from the Oxford University Bean Meals Project. Lisa has been working in a public health capacity for over 20 years and is a registered public health practitioner. She has been working for Food for Life Soul Association since 2015 with schools in Leicester City. And the focus of this work is healthy eating, improving the lunchtime experience, and a whole school approach to food. She now works on the Bean Meals Project as an engagement officer as part of the Food Systems Transformation Group. The Bean Meals Project is researching systematic innovation with two novel UK pulse crops developed at the Warwick University. And I will let Lisa tell you more about this work.
It's led by Dr. John Ingram from Oxford University, but there are another four universities who we are working with and all around different aspects of the food system. The research areas we're looking at. So we've got that local context, looking at the policy environment locally and nationally, and then looking at mapping the system locally and what's happening in the wider context as well. Directly with schools and families, we've worked with looking at changing behaviours and community uptake of the beans, and looking at upscaling as well and how we can do that. So the health benefits we know, but we're looking at the health impacts of improving and adding beans into our diets, and looking at the environmental impacts as well of growing beans. and expanding that area in farming. And then looking at, especially locally, some of the enterprises that can develop because of the development of, we've got two new novel beans. Using that sort of systemic innovation and learning, because it is a research project. And I think the challenge really is how to move towards a healthier diet with lower environmental impact, whilst also looking at local national enterprise, and that includes farming as well. So we've got our Professor Eric Hollab there and Dr. Roseanne Maguire, and they've developed the Capula and Godiva beans at Warwick University, and they are a type of navy bean, but they've been developed to be grown in the UK environment, so they need a shorter growing time, a shorter sunlight time, which is more predisposed to our climate. All the beans that currently come into the country are grown from elsewhere, Canada, America, China, so it's quite a novel sort of bean that we've got here and quite unique. They're quick cooking, and at the moment they're in a dried form, but they don't need overnight soaking. It's 2 hours and then about an hour, 2 hours on the hob or in a pressure cooker, which I'll talk about later as well. They're gluten-free, they've got the low glycemic index, and as we know, with all beans in farming, they're nitrogen fixing as well. They're also, when you think about sort of farming sides, when you look at farming in general, there are farmers who are growing beans, fava beans and other type of beans, but they're growing them for animal feed and not for human consumption. So when we talk about upscaling, we're really looking at how can we use the land and how can we farm differently. And that's something that's happening in one of the farms in Lincolnshire and a farm local to Warwick as well. So instead of taking the farm to fork approach, we're using the fork to farm food systems approach. So we've actually got the beans and we've put them on school menus and we've given them to households and in the community. And we can do that at that end, and at the other end, obviously, we've got the farm and the farming they're actually growing here in this country. And what the research is looking at is that middle bit, that enterprise processing, cleaning, different ways of having the beans. Could they be canned? Could they be frozen? And that's the sort of thing that the research will be coming out later this year. And these are the things that we'll be presenting later. We've got, these are the six schools we've been working with. So one of the projects in the research areas in school was that we actually put the beans into the school meals, the cooks cooked them, and the research looked at year four and year five. The meals were served to all of the schools, but particularly year four and year, feedback was taken from them, and photographs of their meals were taken before and after they'd eaten to see what they'd actually eaten on the plate. And we also measured the food waste. So we had our own bean bin and we could scrape the beans into that. So we knew how many grams that had been started with back through the cook. And then we knew how much we had left. We'll be able to tell what the favourites were and how the children enjoyed eating the meals as well once we've analysed all that research. It took place over about a 5 month period as well, all that the intensive research in schools. With the six schools, they're in, three were in the city and three were in the county. We worked across their two separate authorities. They're ethnically and culturally diverse as well. There was two food plans we worked within, the city and the county, and two caterers, so the two local authority caterers in the city and the county. Together with Food for Life, we trained the teachers in year five, because they were our comparative group, and I delivered lessons directly into the year five. And what we were seeing there was do interventions that actually help with children's take up of the school meals and eating the beans once we, with the year five students, and we didn't do any of the interventions in the classroom with the year four pupils as well. So again, that will give us some further data to see how good the interventions were, how, if they make a difference in school. We've also worked with 10 families with Hertfordshire University. We had some training cook and eat sessions in schools with the families, and then the research took part in their homes as well, looking at how they could manage with what sort of facilities they had, if they could use the dried beans and how they were using them, if the rest of the family were eating them. And so that, again, that's going to be really informative. And we had a game designed as well, which I'll talk about. This was all together with the co-design process within the two local authority and city and county areas. And we had workshops with those different areas as well. And also trying to look at that policy from local policy, even to do with school meals, with procurement, but not just that, looking at within the food plans and the farming in the area. So we had the difference between the city and the county and how those policies differed as well.
You will now hear about our plans here in Glasgow. There's a small team of just three of us behind the campaign, and I'm pleased to introduce you to my colleague Jenny McGilvery, who's a community activator from the Food and Climate Action Project, Glasgow Community Food Network. And Jenny is a big part of the reason this campaign came to Glasgow, and I will now hand over to her.
Hi everyone. The Food and Climate Action Project began in 2021 and is a partnership of various organisations across Glasgow, working to inspire people to learn about and transform the food system together. So last year, I started an online training programme with the Slow Food Movement, and it was learning about protein transition, so how we can transition to different forms of protein in our diets. And it was also learning about local food systems and engaging people with that. So when I finished the training programme, there was a chance to go to Tuscany to attend a Slow Beans event over 3 days in Italy. And so I was really lucky to get to attend that. And as part of this trip, I met lots of people passionate about legumes. And this was really my first introduction to the world of beans. And lots of people who do believe that legumes can change the world. So I'm going to talk a bit about my trip and some of the highlights, and then a bit about the Glasgow campaign and the ideas we have for that. So during the visit, we got to hear from many different people. It was attended by people from all over Europe and the States as well. And one of the visits was to a canteen, which was supplying four different schools with their school meals. I was very impressed by the kitchens, their equipment. It was all very large scale, but they sourced 85% of their food was organic. They had a target of 100%. And due to being such a big customer, they had a regular requirement for a lot of ingredients. They were able to work closely with farmers and producers and influence their practices. So they were able to influence some local producers to convert to organic. They also worked with children and in the schools to show them where their food came from and get them involved in developing the menus and tasting the dishes. And obviously a part of that was beans and using local varieties that were grown very locally. So then we also got to attend a Slow Food Producers Market. And this had a big focus on beans and all sorts of legumes and things that I'd never thought of before, like lupin seeds. They'd made chocolate from lupin seeds. They had edamame beans from Germany. They had various local Tuscan varieties of beans, Latvian big grey peas. It was very interesting to see all that. I also found that Italy grows chickpeas and black chickpeas as well. The following day was fun because we got to actually taste the beans from the producers. And then we had to rank them and choose our favourite bean. And the winner would be the producer of the bean, not the cook. Yeah, I got to taste lots of different beans. And my favourite was actually a lovely chickpea and chestnut dish, which was very simply cooked with olive oil and herbs. That was great. And then the winner of the bean, later on we celebrated. There was lots of prizes. And there was a real feeling of celebrating the bean as a gourmet food. So apart from these two sort of big events, we were also busy in workshops, hearing from different speakers and having lots of chats about beans. And we heard from the Global Bean Project, who talked about how to cultivate beans and some of the challenges involved in that. The two sort of main things that I took away and brought home from the trip that I wanted to replicate here was, one, the involvement of children in choosing and developing their school meals and them eating more beans, and two, to encourage more people to have a go at growing their own beans for drying and maybe to experiment with more diverse different varieties of beans, different types of beans, as drying doesn't seem to be that common here among small scale growers and allotment holders. At least from what I've seen, people tend to stick to fresh green beans and broad beans. But I wondered if we could really contribute to community resilience and household resilience by having beans for storing over winter. They're good to go in winter stews. It also sort of helps to spread out the harvest. When you can store food over winter, you avoid having a big glut of food in the summer that you're not able to use fully, and then a big hungry gap lasting through the winter. And then, so I got back to Glasgow and was talking to Rika, and she immediately got really excited as well. And then the idea for a local campaign in Glasgow came about. And then we discovered loads of other people were passionate about beans too, and lots of partners have already come on board, and we're getting this national and global support as well. And so we want to channel all that enthusiasm across to the general public and get more people on the bean wagon. There's two sort of challenges that we anticipate. The one is the availability of locally produced or even UK-grown beans. So Lisa mentioned a couple of varieties that are now being developed, but as a general rule, while beans are often grown on commercially, they're often used as a cover crop or as animal fodder rather than for human consumption. So we'd like that to change. And two is the perception of beans, or maybe the restricted idea of what beans are. In general, there's not enough fruit and veg eaten in this country, as we know, and beans are part of that as well. And there's also a tradition of very much eating tinned and baked beans and not the full variety of beans that are available. So we just want to make beans fun and emphasize that they're a great food for filling your belly on a tight budget. So the aims of the campaign to get is to share information on the environmental and health benefits of growing beans, demonstrating how to grow and cook beans. So we've got planning growing workshops and sharing recipes. We're also involving caterers. That includes school caterers to include more bean-based dishes on the menu. A social media campaign to involve the general public to get involved. And a growing project which will distribute seeds to growers and to encourage people to grow a more diverse range of beans and make them available locally. We will have retailers on board who will be offering promotions on beans. And then in partnership with Glasgow Seed Library, we will be giving out bean seeds, encouraging people to take them home and grow them, maybe try a new variety of bean, and then to save the seed. And this will create our own locally adapted Glasgow Seed Bank. And Glasgow Seed Library also provide starter packs for seed saving, and these will include beans. As we're such a small team, we are relying on partnership working and encouraging others to run their own bean-focused projects. And we will be using the Climate Fringe calendar to advertise any events that are being run to do with beans. And finally, there will be a legacy of a website full of resources, a bean book bringing together all the highlights, the recipes, and the growing project. The Humble Bean works across the whole food system to bring people together. So whether you're a community project or a school teacher or a parent, or a retailer or a chef, there is a way to get involved in the campaign. Now I'll pass over to Rika, and we'll talk about how this campaign relates to the City Food Plan and national policies.
As you have heard, beans provide an amazing number of both health and environmental benefits, and they can in fact be linked to some of our local policies. Glasgow has something called the Glasgow City Food Plan. It's a 10-year plan which was launched in 2021, and the campaign links to this plan in various different ways. For example, the low cost of beans can be linked to improved access to healthy, affordable food and possibly reduced food insecurity, and there will hopefully be increased understanding of the food system through our education programs in community, and hopefully we can also learn from our national partners as well. There'll be many ways for community participation, so if any of you listening are from community projects, please follow us on social media The campaign will also promote participating local food businesses and markets who are taking part. And we're also inviting market gardens and community projects to grow their own beans, which we hope in small way can lead to increased amount of locally grown sustainable food. And all of these things together, we hope in turn will lead to increased consumption of healthy beans and hopefully improved health and well-being in some capacity. In addition, the campaign also aligns with the Scotland's Good Food Nation ambition, something that the Scottish government actually just announced another consultation for that. And I'm really pleased to announce that the Scottish government has actually decided to endorse the campaign as a cost-effective way to eat more nutritious diet, at the same time supporting a sustainable food system. And the Scottish government encourages people and organizations across Glasgow to take part in our local campaign. We are also part of the Sustainable Food Places Network, and some of the other cities from Scotland have already asked if there's a way that they can get involved as well. So we can share some of our learnings from this campaign and also the learnings from abroad and elsewhere in the UK as well. And as Jenny told you before, there are plenty of ways to get involved in the campaign, and we are doing our very best to make this campaign as accessible as possible. This is why we have already partnered up with some organizations. So the Beans is How campaign, as you've already heard, will provide access to their global campaign resources. Bean Meals will keep us informed of their latest research on incorporating UK beans into the school menu. And Slow Food Glasgow will promote the campaign locally, and our team will continue to disseminate learning and resources from the Global Slow Beans Network that Jenny is connected to. The Food for Life Served Here Soil Association Scotland has already started working with the Glasgow City Council catering team, which is really exciting. Together, they are exploring the best ways to incorporate more beans onto school menus, so you will hear more about that in the coming months. The Glasgow City Council School Education team will link us with relevant cultural departments and parents groups to be able to spread the message about the campaign quite widely, and also help our team put on some bean-related activities to school children as well as communities. The Green City Whole Foods wholesaler is already working with some suppliers to put special bean promotions on during the campaign. We are also working to get some local retailers and restaurants on board with the campaign as ambassadors to promote the campaign and put some beans on the menu. Also, finally, the Glasgow Seed Library will help people get a hold of beans for growing. So if you're interested in partnering with us, it's actually not too late. We're actively looking for other partners and funders to allow the campaign to have maximum impact and to allow more people and communities to get involved.
One question that we've received, which I think is really important and has also informed our choice in pursuing this campaign in Glasgow, is a question asking for suggestions to those who are experiencing food poverty and how they can incorporate beans into their diets. So if we have any ideas for different affordable meals that include beans.
We'd worked with our families a lot around this issue, and our beans, the Godiva and Capula beans, are a dried product, which does mean soaking and then boiling them. They are a short soak, but it was something the families mentioned was that it was difficult because of fuel poverty as well to have that for 2 hours on the hob. So one of the quicker ways is really some of our Asian families who are used to working with dried beans and dry pulses. They use pressure cookers a lot and it shortens the time less than half. And I now adopted that in my way of cooking with the dry beans as well. It's transformed the time and the way I cook. And regardless of our beans, other dried products, chickpeas and things like that, are cheaper if you can buy them in bulk in dried form. But then it is about that, having the correct process. And one of our learnings is that, yeah, pressure cookers are the way forward and they use less energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Kristen, do you have something to add to this question?
Yeah, just to add that they are so nutrient dense and they are actually cost effective and can be purchased dried, jarred, canned. So there's many different ways that you can buy it. And they are, in most scenarios, an affordable protein. We are finding that this is really a localized situational kind of thing. So in many countries, actually, they are not affordable. So we are careful about how we speak about the affordability. But yes, Lisa really answered that question as well.
And I also just want to add from the perspective of our campaign in Glasgow, that it's definitely, we're aware that food insecurity is an increasing problem and we're still in the midst of a cost of living crisis. And Rika is maybe going to add a little bit about how we're planning to work more with those food provision services in Glasgow. I know we have ideas to supply recipe cards, to work with food pantries, and to think a bit more about how we can definitely make those accessible. Rika, do you have anything to add to that?
I was going to mention the pantries in the Scottish Pantry Network is really interested in this campaign. They have already asked for recipe cards and our plan is to get some recipe cards printed, funding allowing that. Just to touch on what Lisa and Christine already said, you know, obviously the dried beans are the most cost-effective way to purchase beans, but not necessarily when you take all the cooking and energy into account as well. So our campaign can promote beans in all of their forms, not just the dried beans, but also the canned beans, which are obviously easier for people to access and make meals from as well. So there will be some promotions from wholesalers during this campaign. We are hoping that they would actually then help people purchase some of the beans as well. Also, we will hope to link up with community organizations and get them to put on their own events. And it's obviously quite a cost-effective way to put on community meals when you actually have a bean-based meal rather than some more expensive ingredients. So we think it's quite timely at the moment that we concentrate on food that is really cost-effective.
We've received a question about the possible benefits of beans and pulses in waste reduction and how, as well as being something that can be sustainably grown and as an alternative to other proteins, how they could contribute to Sustainable Development Goal 12.3 of reducing food waste. I wonder, Lisa, you were talking about scraping the beans into bins.
What's interesting about the food waste in schools was when we started to look at it, it's interesting to actually get children involved in that process of what happens. You know, the food system doesn't end on your plate. The food system goes towards your food waste, and then where does it go after that? And the environmental impact of that food waste and the carbon that's released. So I think there's a little bit more of an education about the food system that, like I said, doesn't end on your plate. And the children were really interested and sort of understood that quite quickly. And it also, when you get to know, we understand where food comes from and that journey that it's had to take and understand the environmental impact of a lot of food, it makes you appreciate food more and not to sort of have that waste at the end. If it's nutritious, if it's healthy, if it's tasty, then you will eat it. So I think it's going back to that basis as well. And again, with my work in schools with children, it's important to have that ownership because they're more likely to try something new and eat it and not waste it as well. So one of the theories about is having children, once they've grown food themselves, once they've cooked with food, they're more likely to eat it, and especially new food. So talking about change behaviour when we're trying to get children to try new foods, even adults trying different things, if they're just used to baked beans and we want them to eat more of a variety of beans, then it's about getting them to try things as well. And it's how you do that and looking at that behaviour. When you look at that community level, a lot of it is just about taking away those worries about how to cook beans and what they're going to put them in and having a good recipe. Is it going to work? Am I going to cook it for my family and then no one's going to eat it at all? And giving people's confidence really as well, and making sure that people are enjoying the taste of beans and what they're doing with them.
It's a really interesting point, but I have to say our Glasgow team wasn't really thinking about the food waste aspect at all. Obviously, I knew that the Bean Meals project is measuring food waste in schools, which is super interesting, and we hope to learn from that. But it is very, very true that the beans have a long shelf life. They are not perishable, you know, dried beans. You can store them for a really long, long time. And same thing with canned beans as well. So that maybe goes back to the previous question about how beans can help alleviate food poverty. Well, if you buy dried or canned beans, you know that they're not going to go off anytime soon. So it will probably help you budget as well. And if you have a can of beans in your cupboard somewhere, you always have something to eat.
I was just thinking about my own family and trying to get them to eat more beans. And they are very habituated to baked beans as well. And my problem with trying to eat more beans is just cooking for them. They won't accept it. But my idea was to gradually move from, so have tinned baked beans, start adding like different flavours in, some spices or some soy sauce, or just sort of gradually transition away from that to making my own homemade baked beans. because I have seen some nice American recipes from the South where they have a tradition of eating homemade baked beans with lots of yummy flavours in there. And it's frustrating because it tastes great, but it's just getting them to accept it and to try it is the challenge. And they did talk about that in Italy, that there was, even there, we think it has an amazing food culture, but even there it was seen as a challenging food to educate people and children, get them to try it. And then the parents thinking of it as more of a low class food, or, you know, not as good as meat. So it was just emphasizing the taste and the making it really tasty and good quality.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that some of the time in the schools, we got to the point where, and with the families, sometimes you've got to start where people are. So if that's what they're used to, there's no point in trying a new bean. But if they're really quite resistant, we made them beans into a pasta sauce, and also we put sauce on pizzas. When we're doing the research in the schools and actually there in the day, we would tell the children, I remember going to class and saying, well, and the beans today are going to be in your pizza. And the faces were horrified, because I think they thought we would put them on top like an olive or something. I'm like, what? And then after an hour, and then they've gone to lunch, they completely forgot what I'd said an hour ago, and they're eating it. And I said, did you enjoy the beans? Wait, what beans? Where? They're in the pizza. So, you know, it's health by stealth sometimes, is especially with children. And then they get used to that. Well, you've eaten them before. It can be quite a process. But there's ways of working with that. And like I say, starting where families, or your own family, your own children, where starting where they're from. Like you said, Jenny, about maybe even adding some into the sauce that they're recognised, and then slowly moving away from that as well.
Just to say that we also are combating the feeling that it is a poor person's food. And so in many locations, so trying to really change the perception of beans as something desirable and make them visible, I think will also help with reducing food waste as well, because people will value them in a way.
And that actually leads me on really nicely to my next question, which is around seeing beans as desirable. I was wondering, Kristen, with your work to get more beans on the menu, how do you think we can make beans something that's a bit more glamorous, something that we expect to see on a menu when we're going out to a restaurant to eat? And this also to me relates to the question of, instead of using beans as feed for animals, how do we see beans as the food itself, as the desirable thing that we want to be eating?
So when we first had this idea, we kind of wanted to just run with it very quickly. But we said, you know, we are very closely partnered with the Chef's Manifesto and many other food service and hospitality organizations. Let's have focus groups to really understand how this might activate. And we really learned that it's not a one size fit all. Whereas some of the canteens run by offices or by schools and hospitals and public procurement, they were championing the fact that it was a cost saving measure as well as a wellness measure. And they were really excited to be able to look at how it affected their bottom line. But high end restaurants were never going to talk about that. So they were actually telling us, we do have beans. Beans are in our spreads, beans are in our sauces, we're using beans all the time. But we don't talk about it because people don't want to purchase a dish of beans because they perceive it as something that they either make themselves, that, you know, it's kind of a home cooked meal when you want to do something quickly, save some money, whatever. So how can we start to make them visible by putting them on the menu? And that's where the name kind of came from. It's just very literal. We want to champion them.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Good Food for Glasgow podcast. You can find out more about the campaign and how you can get involved by going to our website, goodfoodforall.co.uk/projects/full of beans, and checking out the resources and campaign toolkits featured there.